This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me today is Tracy Gregoire. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear of a new place that may be opening up, or a new place you've eaten at, or a recipe you'd like to share, or if you just want to chat with us. Again, the number is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here to the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester. We're located right at 814 Elm Street. You can come on down, have some lunch at Midtown Cafe, and you can watch the show. I'd also love for you to like us on Facebook. You can go to Food for Thought with Carol and like us there. We always have a lineup of who's going to be on for the week, and we always take pictures, so it's fun. It's interactive. We have trivia questions on there for you to win prizes as well. So get on over to Food for Thought with Carol. And welcome, Tracy.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
I know.
How are you?
Good afternoon. Good, good. Very good. I think the weather's starting to break out there a little bit.
It is. I was debating on whether to wear my coat in, but my car's still red 32, so I wore it in. But I imagine I can probably, it's supposed to warm up pretty quickly.
So. I think so. I think Thursday's supposed to be like, I heard 50-something. That's a little scary.
Yeah, except the whole week is supposed to be nice, except for the day we have plans. That's the coldest day of the week, which is Saturday.
Oh, bummer.
It's going to be out near the beach.
Oh.
I know.
And it's not supposed to be nice this weekend?
I think the high is 36 Saturday.
Well, 30, you know.
That's warm compared to what we've had.
It is.
But when the days on either side are in the 40s and 50s.
It's true.
36 doesn't look good to me.
True. You're right. You're right. But it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
So. You're looking nice and bright today. You're wearing some nice bright yellow.
Bright yellow, because Susan Osborne told me I can wear bright yellow.
And you can. It looks fabulous on you.
Susan Osborne is going to be doing a bi-weekly segment, and it's going to be all about, you know, your different colors that people can wear, and she does makeup, and she does closet organizing. She even takes people shopping if you need her to take you shopping.
Oh, I think I know that.
She's pretty interesting.
Because it's so easy to get into a rut and just know the colors that you like and you think look good on you, and just going always. My closet is, you know, very much the same colors, and then I'll get something, I'll try to be different and try something new in it, and it. I find I never wear it because I don't feel like it looks good on me. So having somebody to kind of help you with that and take the guesswork out is very helpful.
Yep. And she like is a big preacher on you do not buy anything unless you're totally in love with it. Mm. And don't buy things on sale. That's a big one.
What's the reason for that?
I don't quite remember. Not to buy it on sale. Like, you know, impulse. Because, you know, people, what they do, they buy things. Because it's
on sale. Even if you don't love it.
Because you love it.
That's
true.
Exactly.
That's her reasoning by it.
Yeah, I've done that. So. See something and be like, oh, it's only $5. I'll wear it a couple times.
Exactly. And you know, making sure it's your right color, you know. So it definitely all makes sense. So she's going to be starting a new segment starting Monday the 30th. And it'll be every other week. So listeners can stay tuned for that.
Looking forward to that.
And she'll take calls, I'm sure, too. So, and today, we have a great lineup today. I'm very anxious to get on. We're going to be talking with Chef Evan Hennessy. He's the owner of Stages in Dover. And I don't know, listeners, if you remember hearing me talk about it a few weeks back, two or three weeks back at the kitchen table. Just amazing. Just an amazing, amazing place. So we'll be talking with him. And then we'll also be talking with Julie Barron, president and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. And then
Allison Kelly from Turismo Tavern as well.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So that should be really nice. She was actually mentioned on the show yesterday.
Yes,
when
because
Go
I
Juice
had Go Juice here.
Yeah,
yes,
definitely.
And Jumpin' John's German Bread.
Oh, that's right. Because they kind of work together.
Yes. Well, they work like right next to each other.
Yes.
Yeah. So nice. Yes. But last night, I don't know, I made some roasted vegetables, and you know, a little bit different. Usually, I'll do zucchini and squash and onion and. You know, that kind of thing. Well, I saw some butternut squash, and I thought, I think that would be really good roasted. I've never really roasted butternut squash.
I have not either.
So I took some butternut squash and some beets. I love beets. So peeled beets and cut them up in some small chunks with some, I always cook with poblano peppers. They're always in my fridge. So I sliced those up and some garlic, you know, a bunch of things of garlic in there.
Garlic makes everything better.
Totally. And I had like a half of a peeled onion. So I sliced that up in there too. And I basically, all I did for seasoning was salt, pepper, and I use Celeste Oliva's cayenne fused oil. Oh my gosh. And it
gives a little bit of a kick.
It's a little tinge red too, you know. It is so good. I've been cooking with that. It's amazing how good it is.
So tell me what you did. Did you just throw them all in like a flat pan?
I put it on a sheet pan, in the oven. I sprayed it with Pam, put all those vegetables, flat so they're not like covering each other. So it was all pretty nice and flat. And like I said, salt, pepper, and just that cayenne-fused olive oil.
And do you broil it or bake it?
You know what? I had my oven set at 425, so it was nice and hot. And it took about 35, 40 minutes. I mean, we tend to like our stuff a little on the more well-done side, so it kind of has a little, char to it. And sometimes I normally would put it up under the broiler to get that, but if I would have went 5 minutes less and then done that, it would have been good, but I don't want to overdo them. They were fabulous.
And I like that you actually brought it. A lot of times I think roasted vegetables, I think, have to be fresh right out of the oven, but you brought it in today.
So good. Yeah. I made extra so that I would be able to bring some in for today to eat, keep eating healthy. So
very nice.
So yeah.
And flavorful.
Very
flavorful. Bland like you think of when you think of healthy foods.
Yeah. Well, we had a nice ripe tomato that needed to be cut. So, Daryl had cut that up and salt, pepper, a little bit of, we had some dill, I think, fresh dill. And he drizzled some regular olive oil. Well, Celeste Oliva olive oil, of course. It's the only olive oil in my house now. And then I'm like, that would be very good with the cayenne-fused one. Mm. So I drizzled a little bit of that on it. Gives it a whip. I mean, it's amazing the kick it gives you.
Yeah. I've been using the garlic-infused olive oil. And I just love it on vegetables.
It's delicious.
Steam some vegetables, throw a little bit of that, salt and pepper, or some seasoning.
Mm. Yeah.
Good, good, good.
It's excellent. It's good for you.
So do you have a food holiday?
I do. And today's is not my food. It's just not my food today. It's National Chocolate Covered Raisins Day.
You had me at
really?
Chocolate covered, but lost me at raisins.
Totally. I do not like raisins.
I don't mind them, but I would never go out and purposefully like buy them.
Me neither.
To snack on.
No way.
No.
Ugh. Oof. No. And it's chocolate covered raisins day. And I did print off a little bit of, in that food reference, they do have some trivia. Where do you think half of the world's supply of raisins are grown?
Oh, you always stump me with these.
It is California.
Really? Yeah. See, I was going to say Florida.
Half of the world's supply. That's
a lot
of stinking raisins, don't you think?
Yes. But, I guess that makes sense. It makes sense because that's kind of the wine capital of
not true.
The world necessarily, but
pretty huge.
A lot of vineyards there.
Let me see. It takes more than 4 tons of grapes. It takes more than 4 tons of grapes to produce 1 ton of raisins. Mm. Interesting.
That seems like a waste of grapes to me.
I know, right? Would you like to give a shout out to our sponsors?
I definitely would. So we would like to thank Express Jewelry Center, 44 North Main Street in Concord, expressjewelrynh.com for your precision repair and sales. Integrity Health Coaching Solutions in Bedford and Londonderry, integrityfit.com, your coaching solutions company. Belmont Hall and Restaurant, 718 Grove Street in Manchester, belmonthall.net, top quality foods made fresh for over 50 years. Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and now open with drive-thru in Londonderry, redarrowdiner.com. Celeste Oliva, 75 South Main Street in Concord, celesteoliva.com, your source for the freshest premium extra virgin olive oils and balsamic vinegars, and added to their line is fresh pasta and honey. Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought and Kale & Company. And New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com. And listeners, just want to remind you that if you go into any of these sponsors, please tell them that Food for Thought sent you. They love to hear that.
Beautiful. And you know, we got two little messages, one on the one on our monitor here and one via my text messaging, because people will text me during the show. The two of us did not like the chocolate-covered raisins, but there are two that love it. Andrew said it's his kind of food holiday, so Andrew likes chocolate-covered raisins. And my sister-in-law, Lori, texted me and said she loves chocolate-covered raisins. So.
There's something for everyone.
It's exactly right. Yeah, I don't know. But okay, you are listening to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building. We're at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. And we're going to go on a short break. And when we come back, we're going to be in studio with Chef Evan Hennessy of Stages in Dover. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building right in downtown Manchester, right at 814 Elm Street. And Tracy is joining me today. And we are, without any further ado, we're just going to go ahead and welcome our next guest, because the smell in our studio is really, really good. So welcome Chef Evan Hennessy from Stages at 1 Washington Street in Dover.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Glad to be here.
I'm very happy you're here. I was like, you know, my friend June was telling, you know, she'll scout out, you know, stuff on the Food Network and stuff. And she's like, you gotta call this guy. You just have to. He was on The Beat, Bobby Flay, and, you know, the show. And I'm like, really? And it took me a few days. And I'll never forget when I called that day, because I think it was during the week in the afternoon, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, I call and some guy answers the phone, which, you know, usually it's girls that answer the phone for, you know, reception or, you know, the hostess. So I'm just like, yeah, I'd like to make a reservation for Saturday night at the kitchen table. I had done all my research and there was no way I was sitting anywhere else but there. And then I remember I asked you, I said, do you happen to be the chef? I'm just going to ask. And he's like, yes. And I'm like, you're not Evan Hennessy. And yes. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was so excited.
I answer the phone too.
So for somebody who hasn't been in there, what is the kitchen table?
It's 9 seats. I mean, you are an arm's width away from
like
where
this.
We're plating. Yeah,
like this.
Exactly this close. Yeah, we could reach out our hands and shake should you want. It's such a great thing. I mean, literally, we have our dining room, but then you are in the kitchen with us, and it's a real fun time. It's very interactive, and we love it, you know.
And anybody can make a reservation.
Absolutely.
To sit there?
Yeah, no requirement, other than the reservation.
That's really neat.
And what's really cool, too, what I really thought was kind of cool, because when she said what times, and I said, well, do we have to be there at a certain time? And she said, no, you can, you know, what time is good, you know, 6:30. Yeah. And remember, when we got there was people that were already there. And then after we were seated, you know, a couple courses later, another couple came in. And but, you know, at first I didn't quite understand that, because I'm thinking, well, aren't we going to kind of all be eating the same thing? But explain your menu and kind of explain how that goes and what people can, you know, what they can see, and I can certainly help you. Well, not that I need to help you with that, because you know that, but.
Well, we do, yeah. I mean, we open at 6:00. At first, we started sort of doing seating times, but then we went to rolling reservations, and we allow them every half hour. Do we require the reservations for dining?
Right.
And when you come into the kitchen with us, again, we have the 9 seats, you're right there with us, and we offer two different menus. We have a 4-course prefix, and then we just started, just right around Valentine's Day, a 10-course tasting menu called the NT menu, which stands for Nature and Technique. So which we really sort of simplify the focus of the dish, and it gives you a really good look into, I guess, our philosophy of food.
Okay, explain that a little bit more. So what is your philosophy of your food? Like, explain that a little bit more.
When we ask to sort of say what kind of food we do, we deem it as progressive New England. It is a very modern approach. We have a lot of toys. We go back to the kitchen for 1 second. We call our kitchen the sandbox because we have a lot of toys. It's 100% electric kitchen, and we operate on great precision. With that in mind, all of our food comes from New England, and we try to keep it as sort of New Hampshire-centric as possible, but we consider our New England to be our backyard. And that's everything from our eggs to our dairy to our meats to our fish to our vegetables to our herbs. Everything that we bring in comes right from around us. And the best way to say it is it just makes sense to us to source from right where we are.
And when Daryl and I went, we went with another couple, Daryl's cousin and husband, and Daryl and I decided, you know, I can eat. I'm not saying I can't eat, but the four course was, I knew, going to be plenty for me. And he got the 10 course. So we kind of you should have seen our food.
10 course.
It was amazing. Everything complemented each other. And we did do the wine pairing with it as well. And you know, this just came into my head. I'm like so crazy. And for those of you just tuning in, you are listening to Food for Thought, and we're in studio with Chef Evan Hennessy. He is the owner of Stages, which is in Dover. And you can also check him out on the web at stages-dining.com, and all their menus are up there. And they also have events, which we'll go into too. Mm-hmm. But you know what I was just thinking when you were talking? Because when we got there, you know, I just sat and I just literally had my mouth open and I was just kind of watching. It is just so intimate too, you know?
Is.
But when Daryl first noticed, like the Dr. Seuss books that you had sitting there, and everything seemed, you know, everything is like, it's there for a reason.
Right.
I mean, it's a stage.
Right.
It just came to my head. I'm like, you know, because it looks like a set is what it really looks like.
It is.
Is.
You actually
so
made a great
cool.
point. Is there, everything that we do has a purpose and has a reason, you know, for it, whether it be where we place the Dr. Seuss books, because we just had a themed dinner this past weekend based on Dr. Seuss books. Other than it's everything that we have, you know, we have in the kitchen. It is where it is for a reason. And we've moved the kitchen around.
I knew
I
that.
Or
and I said to him,
times.
I go, I'm telling you that's there because it's, you know, and I wasn't quite, you know, actually, no, I did know that Dr. Seuss, and I said, he has a dinner coming up. And Daryl and his cousin Cokie are like, sure. I go, I swear to God, he has Dr. Seuss dinner coming up. It's an event.
It's just
so
what
it's
I like to read.
So cool. So how did that event go?
That keeps it really interesting. You're always changing things up.
We are. I mean, we definitely, good way to say it is we try to keep up with ourselves. We do have the constantly changing menus, and we get asked, you know, how frequently do you change the menu? Is it every week? Is it every month? And it's a very organic change process. I mean, it's we have a little statement at the bottom of our menu. It says our menu changes frequently. It's the farmer's fault. That's 100% true. We get text messages and emails and whatnot at the beginning of the week, and as far as what's going to be coming into us, and we never ask, we never demand a certain ingredient, we never go looking for anything. It's what comes into us, we assess it, we look at it, we taste it, we try it, and then we create a dish or a menu, or we alter things according. So the theme news are a really fun thing. That's another way for us just to take our creativity and again play in the sandbox.
Exactly.
The Dr. Seuss thing was great. That was such a good time. Other than the research of it, which, you know, I have little ones at home, and they love Dr. Seuss, so I got to read a lot of Dr. Seuss recently, more so than normal. But then, you know, to interpret either, you know, be it the story or the characters or a way to sort of take an idea that was from within the book and put it on, you know, in solid form on the plate. And when I was doing a lot of research for it, you know, I see a lot of dinner party things and make a, you know, Cat in the Hat popsicle and, you know, stuff like that. I was like, yeah, we're not doing that. So,
and did you have green eggs and ham?
We did. And I say it like that for one reason. I tried, in all honesty, to avoid that. I do. You know, I love the book. It's got nothing to do with the book. It was just it was a cliche dish,
mm-hmm.
and it was the obvious go-to. And it's the first thing when people heard that we were doing the Dr. Seuss, like, oh, green eggs and ham. And we said, oh, okay. So we avoided it. It was one of the later dishes to hit the menu, and we ended up doing a really cool version of it. We took a turkey egg and we separated and did different things with it, and ended up doing a little ragu with pork and added a smoky element to it, therefore mimicking the flavor of bacon. And we did not use green food dye.
And, you know, when you just said turkey egg, because that was on one of my courses, mm-hmm. I think my first one.
It was, yes.
Right?
Correct.
I remember that. See, that egg, it stuck with me because that egg was so good. I mean, it was like, I don't even know how to explain it, but the color was beautiful, first of all.
Absolutely.
I mean, the yolk is like a nice, beautiful, bright, you know, bright yellow. And when you broke into it, it didn't like, bleh, you know what I mean? It didn't like just immediately go, you know,
and
you know what I'm
does
to
it
say.
Taste a lot different than a
it
chicken egg?
It was rich tasting. It was, it was so good.
Yeah,
it was
very,
really,
very custard-like
really good.
In texture.
Yes.
As far as the yolk, and it backs it up with the rich flavor. We work with a great farm out of Rye, Élevage de Volaille, and they raise ducks and geese and turkey, and so we are the proud recipient of these birds and their eggs, and so thus the turkey eggs, and we love to not just show ingredients that maybe some others aren't working with, but we like to show ingredients that aren't sort of of the norm. You know, everybody goes to the chicken egg, of course, and we like to try to break the thought process of the norm and say, you know what, there's duck eggs, which are really great, and the turkey eggs, which are even better. And, you know, you got to experience, you know, how rich that flavor really
so
is.
So good.
Yeah, like, and we've had a lot of people come in and say, you know, turkey, I didn't know you could eat that. As well.
I didn't
Of course
eat
you
it.
Can.
I know. See? Now, are they bigger than
they
regular
are.
Eggs?
They are. They're just, I would say, just a hair bigger or a feather bigger than than a duck egg. And other than, I mean, just compared to a duck egg, so you have a chicken egg, and there's the size that is. Duck egg's a little bit bigger and definitely more rich in flavor. And then you have the turkey egg, which is even more rich in flavor. So it just kind of goes from there.
I love getting to try different things. And I grew up in Oklahoma. We did not try new and different things, mostly because of our budget. It was pretty much the same dishes that you can make very inexpensively and just throw things together. And moving up here, I really got to, you know, get it's so nice to be in a place where no matter where you go, there's so many different choices where you can try something new and just have a different variety of things to try and step out of that comfort zone. And it seems like almost everything that you have on your menu is like that.
It is, absolutely. And I mean, we try to get, it's funny because we always say we don't buy fancy food. We don't buy expensive food. You know, looking at a lot of the stuff that we do, I mean, we have all different kinds of vegetables. Our menu has definitely taken a turn towards being vegetable heavy, and it's got nothing to do with any diets or vegetarian or anything like that. It seems to be predominantly what's around us. And other than that, we're just looking around. I mean, between the duck, the ducks, the turkeys, pigs, mm-hmm. goats, lambs. These are animals that frequent our kitchen, and. Other than that, I mean, looking at just kind of what we have in front of me is we have, mushrooms, we have kohlrabi, we have kale, we have fish, and we have seaweed. We use seaweed in our cooking as well.
Well, we are going to go on a break right now, and when we come back, we're going to start talking about what Chef Evan Hennessy has brought today.
I can't
and
wait.
How he's going to put this all together, and wait until you see when he puts it all together. It's just amazing.
It smells amazing. I'm ready to see it and try it.
Amazing. It definitely does. So you're listening to Food for Thought live at the Beacon Building, downtown Manchester, 814 Elm Street. And we're in studio with Chef Evan Hennessy of Stages in Dover. And we'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol. Joining me today is Tracy Gregoire. And again, we're live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. You still have plenty of time to come on down and have some lunch and watch the show. And we are in studio with Chef Evan Hennessy of Stages in Dover. I highly, highly recommend, if you're a foodie, I mean, you got to go to Stages. I don't know. I've been telling so many people about it. I should make sure I remind them too to say, make sure, Carol sent you, Food for Thought sent you, But
incentive program.
There you go. You can check him out on the web also at stages-dining.com, and all of his menus are up there. And so what did you bring for us today, Chef Evan?
I have a fun dish. It's a sort of variation of something we have on the menu right now. We have pollock that is cured with seaweed. We have some kale. We have pickled mushrooms, pickled kohlrabi. Kohlrabi.
What is kohlrabi?
It is a vegetable. It looks a lot like, almost like a UFO. You see it mostly in green or purple. It is brassica. It's in the cabbage family, so it almost has a little bit of that taste to it.
Okay. All right.
I'm glad you asked.
Yes.
I was wondering.
Me too. So we have the kohlrabi, the pickled mushroom. We have pickled dulse, which is a red algae or a sea lettuce, that we forage ourselves. We have Balan oysters.
Wait just a minute, because I was just thinking, how does one get that? And then you said you actually forage it yourself.
We do.
Please tell me about that process. I need to know.
We're going out Thursday. Again, is that we go out to the seashore. We have a couple locations.
No way. That
it's a little cold.
It's okay. You just bundle up.
Do you wetsuit it?
No, we have high boots.
Okay.
And we, other than that, we're just nuts. We get cold. We bring towels for our hands and mitt warmers and things like that. And, we crank the heat in the car. But other than that, we're a little nutty.
You and your sous chef.
Yes, ma'am. So we go out to the seashore, we go in as far as our little toes can take it, and we harvest different seaweeds. So we've learned where to cut them, how to cut them so that they regenerate, and that we're not sort of depleting any specific area. And they all have different sort of properties and tastes and everything. But I mean, nutrition wise, these things basically put kale to shame.
Really?
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
We just did a great workshop in collaboration with the UNH and University of Maine cooperative extensions, and based on seaweed harvesting and nutrition of. And it was such a great program. We had a great turnout for it.
And tell me what that's called one more time.
Dulce. D-U-L-C-E.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh my goodness! You learn something every day.
I know.
Because right now kale is like the thing right now.
It is.
You know, kale, like healthy and and all that. So you're saying that that is wow.
That is the thing. So actually, you know, looking at what we have here. I mean, we have mushrooms. We have brassica. We've got seaweed. We've got kale. So we have a lot of healthy.
It's all healthy.
Not that
it really is.
Here, but nonetheless, it kind of worked out that way.
Yeah.
We have some Balan oysters, which are diver harvested oysters that came in just off Harpswell, Maine. And then over here we have a dashi. This goes back to the seaweed sort of foraging, is that we harvest kelp, we dry some of it, and then we use some of it fresh, and we create a seaweed broth. And then from there we sort of pump it up with some other ingredients and then turn it into this uber flavorful little liquid that we pour at the
Uber flavor.
I love that.
I know, right? That's like the new word. Yeah.
Chef
I love
talk.
It is.
And then you top it off with?
Oh, and then these things right here. I'm trying to figure out if I can put a patent on these.
No kidding.
These are oyster chips. I wish you guys could see these. This is like...
I'm going to grab a picture. Keep talking, and I'm going to grab a picture.
It's basically a translucent, paper-thin chip, if you will, that is made strictly from oyster. We puree oysters with their own juices, and we set it with a couple of different stabilizers, and we treat it as a fluid gel. From there, we dehydrate it, and we get these extreme uber flavorful chips.
And this is something that you have created yourself?
We did. We started making them probably just about a year and a half ago, and they come up in a lot of our fish dishes. We really try to bring the idea of what we do, at least within our seafood dishes, back to the ocean, so you really get that flavor.
And you really do get that flavor. I mean, it's just like you're tasting the ocean, really.
So. I have enough for the dish, and I figured that there may be a snack left over.
Yay. So. And what is this in this jar?
This is black garlic, also known as fermenting garlic. This is unfortunately a product that we don't make, only because we can't make it. So it is whole garlic clove that is very slowly cooked in an oven at 140 degrees for 40 days. So I would love to be able to make it, but we'd have to dedicate an oven for that amount
just
of time.
For that.
And probably somebody to be there on, you can't just have an oven running
correct
all day with nobody there to supervise. The fire department might not like
that. They would not like that. I would get a phone call.
Actually, I have a question about that.
Yeah.
Going back to what you said, I know you want to start preparing this. You said that your kitchen is 100% electric.
Correct.
And I don't know, I'm not a chef, I don't know a lot, but everything I hear is chefs like gas.
Correct.
So can you tell me about that? There must be a reason. Everything you say is with a purpose. Why are you 100% electric?
Very much so. It is designed like that on purpose. And it's all about precision. We use thermal immersion circulators to cook a lot of the food that we do. So we work within the principles of sous vide and sous vide techniques. And then from there, we go to induction. And so that's more or less our stovetop, which is movable. We can move our island around depending on how we need it set up for that night.
Uh-huh.
And so again, we figure if we spend the amount of time and care to go run through the circulators, very specific time and temperature, when it comes out of that, we need to keep that process going. Thus the induction. And we always think good way to show the example of that. If you and I were cooking in the kitchen and I said, go ahead and put this pot over there on the stove on medium, well, your medium and my medium are probably different.
Mm-hmm.
But if we say, go put that pot over there at 220, it's the same. It's the same thing.
Okay.
So it's consistency.
Excellent.
And from sitting at the kitchen table, watching you and your sous chef, I mean, it's like they're just, they don't even have to talk to each other and they just do. I mean, I don't think you really talked at all to each other.
We talk enough during the day.
But it's just amazing that, which couple up there to start with and which, I would get all mixed up on what course I'm on, especially when there's 10. Are you kidding?
Right.
Like, okay, he needs his 6 and 7 and she needs her 3. But you just, you both just, you work so well together. And I would think that you, how many, have you been through a couple of sous chefs is that like a big thing with a chef? Is it?
I guess location dependent, but I mean, it is definitely something that I look for when upon hiring, is somebody that you really can gel with as a teammate.
Mold with you.
Yeah. More or less, it's not necessarily about a title. It's about a teammate.
Right.
And how can you sort of basically, I mean, think about it in terms of like a ballet, you know, I mean, people are moving very silently, you know, around,
exactly.
around the stage, again, there's the name, you know, and without sort of talking to each other. It's all based on, you know, IQs, movements, and just, again, knowing what's going on in front of you, being very aware of what the guest needs and what they're going to need. So we anticipate it before they say it. And that is, you know, we pride ourselves on that level of service and hospitality.
Definitely. Oh my goodness. So are we going to put this together?
Yeah.
I'm dying
definitely
to watch you put
no,
it together.
Salivating.
Did you see him with the tweezers too?
I did.
I did. I brought the tweezers and a spoon. We have a rule, no tongs in my kitchen.
Is there a reason for that?
I feel that
there's a reason for everything.
There's a reason for everything. We have it mangles food. So it pains me a little bit to see a cook, you know, butcher a fish very nicely, you know, dry the fillet out a little bit and get ready to sear it, and then bear claw the thing with a pair of tongs to flip it over. So we use spoon spatulas and these little.
No food was harmed in the making of this dish.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of the tweezers, I thought it was quite. Do you remember the end of our course when your sous chef was putting together our dessert, which we'll talk about that in a little bit, but. When he was putting together dessert, he was putting with the tweezers the shaved chocolate on top. And then you went, it was so funny, without even words, he took the tweezers out of his hands and just went and put a bunch on there. It was like so cool the way you did it. I thought that was really
sometimes
neat.
We have to be so delicate and
well,
sometimes it's just
he was
it.
Like being like so, and then he just kind of went. It was like, I thought that was the coolest thing. Koki and I were happy because we got more.
Yeah. Chef Evan more chocolate is always good.
That's true. That's true.
Would have. So as you're putting this together, can we talk a little bit about your experience with Beat Bobby Flay on that TV show, which is so cool.
That was a great time. I really enjoyed that.
It must have been a great time.
Can you first tell us how it came about?
I wish I could. I wish I knew. I literally got an email asking for me to try out for the show. And that process in itself was something. I mean, I had to provide three different recipes based on sort of New England classics, my take on New England classics. And they're like, you know, just something that's off your menu. And I'm sitting here staring at my menu. It's like, yeah, that doesn't exist. So I had to, you know, come up with three dishes. And after we closed, I was at the restaurant for several hours writing recipes, weighing things, you know, taking pictures, making sure I could do these dishes. Not only do the dishes, but I had to be able to do them in less than 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. So, right, of course.
The key to the kingdom there.
You're not even sure how they found you.
No.
Well, probably all your credentials and your accolades and all that stuff.
It may have something to do with last year's James Beard.
Okay.
So semifinalist. So a lot of times that will sneak its way into various things. And I can attribute. So
how is Bobby Flay in person? I mean, is he a really, you know, because sometimes when you know, you hear about these stars, and then you meet them, and they're just not—they're not like who you think they are.
Yeah, I've been asked that many, many times. You know, and a lot of people, more so than often, I find that people dislike Mr. Flay.
Really?
Yeah. If you watch enough of him on TV, he can definitely come up. You know, perhaps arrogant. However, the way that I can answer the question is that I don't know. They kept everybody very separated for the competition. Is that the only time that I saw him is when he walks in, or rather we come into the arena area, and then he comes over and says a little something to you, and he shows the ingredient. The other night he's off to the side, so you don't even talk to him.
Okay.
And then when they go up and do the judging, you're staying next to him quite quietly, and then when they announce, you know, who wins, who loses, he just turns around, shakes your hand, says, congratulations, that was a great job. And that's it. Then I didn't see him after that.
Oh, wow. Now, for our listening audience, tell us who won.
Johnny Mele won. Excellent chef from the D.C. area.
So it's not just you and.
No, it's a two round competition. So it's a head to head, with two chefs, and then the winner of that goes against Chef Flay.
I see.
And so Johnny and I went against each other, and that's like the mystery ingredient round, and that's where. And it's very real. I don't want it, there's some shows that I'm sure sort of, you know, magic on the camera and stuff like that. You know about the ingredient ahead of time and all. I was like, we did not. We had no, and that is, I'm not sworn to any kind of secrecy with that. Just that, that they don't tell you. It literally is, here's your secret ingredient, go.
And what was it?
It was pork tenderloin.
Oh.
And we had 15 minutes to create a dish with pork tenderloin. And both of us kind of went at it, unfortunately, the same degree is that, we totally underestimated, you know, it's like, yeah, we know how to cook that. That's great. And so we went at all the other flavors and started making that first and started cooking the pork last. Both of us undercooked our pork. So we were just like, oh, my God. You know, we're
something
both
about
somewhat
the pressure.
Accomplished individuals. And we do something, you know, so elementary as that. So But
this,
weird.
This looks meticulous, by the way. I'm watching you.
It takes a second. So actually, well, I'll wait till I pour that in right there. So kind of walking through the dish a little bit, you've got the pickled seaweed under there. There's the black garlic dotted around the kale. We've got the pickled mushrooms underneath. And then we take thin slices, almost sashimi slices of the fish, shingled intermittently with the pickled kohlrabi. And on top of that is...
the ever-famous, soon-to-be patented by Chef Evan Hennessy, oyster chips.
The first chip I put in a bag will be made of oysters.
Oh my gosh, that's absolutely beautiful.
So there are the oyster chips right there.
Beautiful.
And then we pour in the dashi. So we love the idea of bringing an ingredient back to its origin.
Oh, listeners, I wish you could see this, but you will, because I'm going to have it posted on Food for Thought for sure. That is really amazing. So I mean, it's just amazing.
Taste of the sea right there.
And when you think about it now, this is you know, one course out of, you know, so they're I mean, throughout the night, you're constantly putting these kinds of dishes together, which I'm just... how often do you change your 4-course and 10-course menu?
They
Like you said, it depends on what you get.
Yeah, depending on sort of what's going on. Okay. I mean, they definitely change, I guess, together, meaning that, you know, the ingredients on our 4-course are very much what's on our 10-course. And so we just move them around. And when we bring in a new ingredient, then we have to. So we switch it out on both menus, therefore creating a new dish. Same thing with whatever the animals are that we bring in.
And you do have an event coming up.
We do. The next one, the next theme dinner that we're going to be doing is springtime in Paris, which is the return of our third annual dinner. It's the one theme dinner we actually repeat. So this coming April, we turn 3.
Yay. Good for you. So,
but then on May 16th, we're doing springtime in Paris.
Excellent. So people can call. You're accepting reservations for that event.
Yep.
Now, and when you do an event, you said that it is also dining in the dining room.
Correct.
For that. But you can also sit at the kitchen table, right?
For our theme dinners, you have to call for the kitchen.
Right.
And,
okay.
And online is the dining room.
Okay. All right. Oh my gosh, Chef Evan, thank you so much for coming in
thank you very much.
Spending some time with us. And listeners, you really need to get on out to Stages in Dover. And again, it's stages-dining.com. And you got to get out there. Stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.